Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event. Welcome everybody to
Monk If You Love Wrestling Podcast.
Introducing first,
being accompanied by his best friend from wherever, weighing whatever, freshly squeezed,
T.B.C.
And now,
the best in the world, Mr.
Rizzo.
Welcome to the Honk If You Love Wrestling Podcast. This week, RV, DBZ, and myself, Mr. Rizzo, discuss the trajectory of our form of professional wrestling when we talk about a new QR code, AEW being a bit unreasonable, and the Oklahoma Athletic Commission can go fuck themselves. Let's start the show.
Let's start the show indeed. Mr. Rizzo, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, and just that was pretty hot. We're not going to go too big in deep with it, but fuck the OKAC, which is the Oklahoma Athletic Commission, Oklahoma State Athletic Commission, for just being anti-trans and not just understanding anything. Just fuck them. So anyway, how you guys doing? Happy wrestling talking day.
Indeed, fuck them. Danhausen did a swear he was so pissed at them. Oof. TBZ, how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm ready to get to talking to wrestling, so why don't we hop right into that?
Hell yes. Why don't we start with the thing that we all love to see, a tremendous execution of wrestling in Montreal, Quebec.
Ah. Like, where's he going with this? What's he trying to get us to?
Oh, I'm getting us ready, willing, and Gable?
For the IC Championship, which was the main event on Raw, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed it was. And I gotta say, you know, we've been saying since Kevin Dunn's departure from the creative camera work, there's been a lot of really interesting things happening on Raw. But we're gonna get into the match, but the opening of this match, the entrance...
Well, real quick... You're making me think about, was this the same episode where Kevin Owens did his whole bit with the cameras and or was that SmackDown I'm thinking about?
Where he took the microphone, took the camera with him, threw the CM Punk shirts off the table.
Yeah, I think that was SmackDown. But
that was on SmackDown.
You're just talking about interesting cameras. They're still leaning into it. Now, I just loved KO this past week when he was just like, come on, follow me. Hey, look at this. I love tigers. Hey, tigers. Just, it was very much like, I'm ready to, I'm just straight into the point. Man after my own heart.
Absolutely. So ahead of the Sammy and Chad match, there was, I believe it was Finn versus Jey Uso. Judgment Day comes down at the end, tries to beat up Jey. Jey escapes through the crowd, but the camera goes with him. He goes all the way up into the arena, goes through the crowd, pushes a dude out of the way who was trying to get a selfie with him, which I thought was fantastic.
A plus.
Walks all the way out the front door. I don't think that was really the front door of the Bell Center, but out the front door of the Bell Center. And who does he find there but one Samwise Zayn? What you doing, Oos? And Sammy tells a beautiful story about 25 years ago. That's the door he walked into, his first wrestling show he had ever seen. And tonight he's coming back to the best wrestling city in the world, Montreal, Quebec. And he's going to walk in the same door as Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, the symmetry or the continuity, I guess, if you will, was on point for this match.
And then the camera followed him back in.
And cameraman's like, I just came this way. God damn it.
Getting my steps in for the day.
Right. I wish they would have done that like a first person. You just see like this arm come up. You see like steps counting and stuff.
Comes back in right before he hits the entrance. Not the entrance ramp, but like the entryway into that section of the arena. His music hits. There was a point where there was a fan wearing a Montreal Canadiens luchador mask, got totally run over by the cameraman. That was good. Sammy comes down And what a fucking honking match. I love technical wrestling. And there is no one in the world better at technical wrestling than the professor, Chadwick Gable.
Excuse me. I'm getting a call right now. A one Brian Danielson would like to have a word.
I'm sure Mr. Saber Jr. would as well, but,
sure.
We digress.
Sure. We'll just say now, that Gable should be up in that group there.
He certainly is. And he, if you're not following exactly the WWE storylines, he earned his Intercontinental Championship match by helping prepare Sammy for the Ring General Gunther. And boy, was this match a solid honker, TBZ.
Quick question for you boys. Now, this whole storyline about Chad Gable helping out Sammy, did I like miss an episode or something and they kind of like introduced this storyline, or did it kind of feel ham-fisted and come WrestleMania they were like, well, Sammy needs somebody to help him beat Gunther. Let's throw Gable in there.
Yes.
Yes to that, the latter?
Yes, correct.
Okay, good. Just making sure, because I'm just watching this, and that's kind of my problem with this, is it's like, you know, we've said this in the past about, like, dream matches, and what is that, you know, what defines a dream match, and that's kind of how this feels. It's just kind of like, well, you know, Gable needs a shot at the IC. I just throw him at him. To make it work, it'll be fine.
So there was a lot of people who were upset at Sammy being in that match in the first place, because there was a lot more story in Gable versus Gunther, though they had dropped that for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, that was a story that had happened, and it felt like Sammy was just kind of in there because he needed a spot, and it's a Rocky story.
Yeah.
And, like, putting Gable...
he needs his WrestleMania moment because he didn't get it last year.
He did get it last year! He won the main event of WrestleMania!
You know, the singles moment, alright? Sorry, jeez Louise.
That's not something to complain about when you've already got it the year before.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that I feel like they were kind of like, oh, we should give Sammy a singles moment here. That's all I'm saying. It's just like, I feel like part of the reason why they threw Sammy in there was because A, he needed to be in WrestleMania, and they're like, oh, let's throw him a bone here.
Well, I think the story is that Sammy Zayn is the ultimate underdog, and he's probably the most, when he's a babyface, which I think he's very good as a heel, but I think he's better as a babyface. Because even when he's a heel, he's a babyface. I think he's like probably realistically like the two or three biggest babyface and the easiest to fire up for something. I honestly, they ran out of time before WrestleMania. You know, they just started this.
You bring up like, it just sucks that they had such a good storyline available through Gable, and they went with Sammy for WrestleMania. It was just kind of out of, like, oh, it seemed like Gable was a shoo-in for this.
Exactly. And they sort of rushed into doing this, which means, as much as I like it, and we'll get there at the end of the match, what happens at the end of match feels fine, but a little less satisfying as it might have been if we had more time with Chad Gable in the sun. But honker of a match. Big, I loved, you know, they did very similar to the Gauntlet match. They did the spot where Sammy tried to counter, or Sammy countered the ankle lock into a pinning position, but Chad Gable had it scouted this time. Just a real solid, great match that they gave enough time to. And then...
Mr. Rizzo?
Isn't.
I was going to say, then the angle they pull at the end, I don't know. I think they just needed to do more for what you guys were saying. Like, I think everything kind of works with the story for when Gable doesn't really get his moment in Mania. He gets passed over. He doesn't win the match against Gunther, and he's training the guy who eventually does. Yeah. So he's like, if I was able to train the dude, like, I should be able to fucking do this. Yeah. And then he can't do that. It works great in Montreal. I just don't think they did enough. I just thought, like, a chair needed to go by. They needed to do more to Sammy, maybe just go a little bit more vicious, and I would have been happy with it. Like, I understand where they're going, unless he's going to do it again, because I think I mentioned last week, I wanted a whole freak out of him, like, just being mad at Otis and Tozawa and just leaving them in the dust, too. So we probably will get that, but I was just looking more of an explosion in front of the Monreal Growl, because I don't know, you guys, that guy, that's the one thing you said correctly, even though they didn't say it right the entire time during Raw. They just don't pronounce the T. It's Morial. Anyway, that's what I was saying.
Morial. TBZ.
Mr. Rizzo, you're saying how you wish they did a bit more at the end there. I almost feel like it was kind of Chad Gable feeling out being a heel. Like, when have we seen Chad actually be a heel?
That's the point. He needed to do more to make me work it. He just did a move on some dude. He just got lightly frustrated.
No, that's. I'm just saying, I feel like he's new to this, so he doesn't, you know, he doesn't know the ropes about being a heel, so he's trying to work at it a bit. Plus, as much as I, you know, at the beginning I was kind of like, oh, it sucks that, you know, Gable didn't get that opportunity. This is a good way to kind of turn Gable, and now maybe this is the run we're, you know, we've been talking about that we wanted out of him into WrestleMania, so maybe this goes to, like, SummerSlam or something.
To be clear, the not enough included Chad Gable coming up behind Sammy, celebrating with his wife, and hitting him with a vicious German suplex on the outside, dragging him to the top rope, and putting him in an ankle lock, hanging off of the ring to the end of Raw. I'm not saying you're wrong, but he was pretty vicious.
First of all, he could have come in with a hellacious chair shot to the back of Sammy while I was talking to his wife, or he could have set up a table of which he would do that ankle lock and then drop Sammy on the table.
But that's not who he is.
That's the point. I think he
that's
needed
the story they're telling he's going to be.
He needed to do something that he wouldn't already regularly do in a match. He needed to do something that would have disqualified him from something just to put us over the edge. I'm not saying it doesn't still work because the Montreal crowd's still going to boo no matter what he did. I just thought I wanted I needed to go to get to the fifth star or something. I just needed to go one little more spot.
Mr. Rizzo, Chad Gable never does an ankle lock from the turnbuckle. That's your, whoa, look at him. He's doing something wacky now.
All I'm saying is, the thing about turning Chad Gable into a vicious wrestling machine, and I know people are going to make the comparison to Kurt Angle. That's what's always going to happen.
Well, who cares? Like, why is that a bad thing?
Well, because some people want Chad Gable to be his own thing, and I think it's just like...
Okay, but you can't go on.
What I'm saying is, I think him being a sadist and doing it all with his bare hands and all of his moves works. But I think that, to your point, because the front end of it where he was a face and he was helping Sammy wasn't built up, it made that maybe you're right. Maybe he did need to do more in that spot. I think I talked about this last week. Oh, they're going to have a match. Sammy's going to win. And then Chad Gable is going to break his ankle in front of his wife and all of the people of Montreal after the match, it didn't get quite to that.
Did he break his ankle?
No.
Okay. No, sorry. Yeah, I was just verifying.
Yeah, they haven't done that as a story.
Yeah, it's not kayfabe yet. I got you.
Yeah. And they might, but, you know, usually you're a fan of the old Lucha Underground. You're a fan of the Temple.
Oh, I praise to Prince Puma.
Pentagon Jr., as he was known then, broke someone's arm, they sold him breaking somebody's arm. That's all I'm saying. That's the difference. And they didn't quite go that far, so you're right.
Not yet. Not yet. We got time with Gable. I'm ready and willing for this story to move on.
Julius Creed was posting about it on X. Maybe the Creed brothers are going to join the new evil super wrestling stable.
Ooh. Does that mean that, like, Otis and Maxine and them are old hat?
I think that's part of the story. I think you're going to probably have a point where Otis is like,
oh yeah! Oh no!
Oh no! Chad, what are you doing?
Yeah, because then you could have them. That could be his like first faction feud. It's like Chad Gable versus his, you know, old students. It just becomes a squash match.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he could have like a match with Otis, and Otis is just like, what are you doing, Chad?
No, that's got to be the lead up. You got to lead up to that match. You have that at a pay-per-view, like Money in the Bank or something, or I don't know.
I would think at the pay-per-view, we'll probably get Gable versus Sammy again.
What's the next pay-per-view? Is it Backlash?
Backlash.
We're going to have it that soon, really?
I don't know. I mean,
I think you got to stretch this bad boy out. Like, here, I'll say this. If that match does happen, I don't think he's going to beat him at Backlash. Although, that's why they have Backlash.
Exactly.
All right. I talked myself back in. I'm in. All right.
But we had a lot of other notable newsworthy pieces on Monday Night Raw. Mr. Rizzo, did you see something peculiar?
Yeah, I see a lot of things peculiar, but, you know, for especially what day it is today, if you're listening to on the day we put this out in this happy, glorious holiday. But no, I saw some weird code that I had to pause the TV for because they didn't really make it easy for me to see the damn QR code.
What?
Next time, just mute it. Don't do that.
Don't do that, please.
And then they just showed a puzzle that I didn't have time to figure out. So luckily, the internet, there are other people that do have time to figure that out. And then it gave us a little video and a little picture. And yeah, so we just got awesome QR codes and little breadcrumbs to look forward to that we all believe it's going to be Uncle Howdy. And I think most of us hasn't done our homework yet on the Bray Wyatt documentary, but we all know that they tease him at the end of it. So we're hoping to get whatever that is. So maybe we should get on that, gentlemen, so we know what the hell these QR codes might be leading us to. So next week, we'll make it a point.
What was the image of again? I forget what it's called, but it's one of those like
anecdotes. So there's a few things. There was the symbol, which is the symbol of Pluto, the Greek god. Not the planet. Pluto is always a planet. Fight me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not the celestial being.
Not the celestial being known as Pluto, which is definitely a planet. There was also a image of a raven, a messenger, and there was an allusion to Plato and the cave.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
It was there was the raven with a fire behind it casting the shadow on the cave wall.
Really chiseled Greek guy was looking at.
That would be Plato.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Pluto.
Okay.
We have both Pluto and Plato in this.
On the board right now, yes. In play, if you will.
I'm super excited for this. The rumors are...
Hope it's not Uncle Howdy. So, like, I just hope it's something new.
I want to give a shout out to our buddy Bubba in our Russell Bros chat for him doing some Google image search on the picture of Plato's Allegory Cave, and it's... The book is about the effect of education and the lack of it on our culture. And I'm like, I'm here for this. Just keep giving me more breadcrumbs. Oh, I'm cool with it. And then we'll complain about how it's shitty later, because that's what we do. But anyway, I like the build.
I think it's really interesting. There's been talk that, you know, kind of following the breadcrumbs that Eric Rowan has had to cancel. Eric Redbeard is what he wrestles in the indies as, has had to cancel some dates. The current, the nation of speculation outside of the podcast is saying that we're looking at the former Bo Dallas in the Uncle Howdy mask with Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, and Little Miss Bliss coming back for you.
But we shall see. Just be yourself. Don't try and emulate what was. That's all I'm going to say.
What about Plato and him cave is what we've seen before.
The way it was teased was very similar. And now you're just talking about how we're going to get Uncle Howdy, who was literally the last character that Bray Wyatt did. So, okay.
But I would think majority of the people I would talk to without anything to know about Uncle Howdy would say that it was an unfinished character that we never saw the real meat of and end of. So sure. I don't know if we can really criticize what we did or didn't see, and if it's not something we might still see.
Who's criticizing anything right now?
You're just talking about it. I don't want it to be what we already saw. And I'm like, well, what if we already saw is what we're still going to get? They're just not finished.
It was just a suggestion.
I mean, the Dark Order didn't go away after Brody Lee died. No. Anyway,
we'll see what we get. That's all. That's all it is. We'll see what we get.
We also had a very sad occurrence at the beginning of Raw. Our mommy, Rhea Ripley, is on the shelf.
Bullshit.
And had to abdicate.
This is bullshit.
The WWE Women's World Championship.
I'll go off on this for a second. I understand having to maybe take the belt off someone because of an injury. But I cannot stand the fact that if you cannot do anything for the ring, you're just not valuable to them at all. Go home. Sorry, you can't be here. You have to go away. It's almost like you died. We'll see you in a few months. It's like they can't talk. They can't be part of a group. They can't wear a cast and just do shit for the company. I hate the, sorry, you got an injury. We can't see you in the ring. So we're just going to not think about you forever.
Well, how do you know she's not going to be around?
Okay, if you prove me wrong, then I'll be happy. But that's not the story they're telling.
Okay, you just told me not to criticize something that hasn't been, and this hasn't been either yet. This is the week she mentioned she's off, and she's talking about not being in the ring. We haven't heard anything about her affiliation with Judgment Day, Dom. It's like, yeah, what, is Dom just not going to have a girlfriend anymore because she's injured?
I mean, she did tell the Judgment Day that they had to keep shit together while she was gone. So, I mean, they did kind of set the tone that she was going to be stepping away. I'm okay with her stepping away. That's fine. I think it allows for, you know, her stepping away allows to build more heat for a return. You know, like, say, Mercedes Moné, as a comparison, who is still not wrestling, and I care about her less and less every minute. Mr. Rizzo.
I just think this is something consistent with them, going back to Big E. I understand Big E may never wrestle ever again, and I understand that, and if that's cool, that's okay. But why can't the dude be part of the New Day that just be a manager? He can talk. He can do stuff. He can be funny. And then 3 years from now, maybe if he does just randomly wrestle, we're like, holy fucking shit, we'll be just as surprised if Rhea was on screen for 3 months, and then 4 months later, she just decides to wrestle. Like, that's all I'm saying. We'll be just as happy when they surprise us with it. So the fact that they have to just be written off TV is just upsetting. I don't like it. Especially when Punk is the exact opposite. I can't go away. I got to be relevant. I got to be here. You can't not see me. I know I'm injured, but you got to know what I'm doing. You got to know how I'm working. I'm coming back. But everyone else, go fucking home. I don't like the precedent that WWE sends with that. It's just bullshit. So the fans were correct when they were yelling at Rhea.
Yeah, no, you nailed it on the head there that, like, you know, they did the same thing with Big E, so they're definitely going to do it with Rhea, too. And it's very disheartening because, like you said, like CM Punk said, my mouth still works. So, you know,
but CM Punk was also not on TV for a fair amount of that time, but was part, they had built him into the WrestleMania match. Rhea being away means that, I'm sorry, TBZ, means that Liv Morgan can do a little bit more and can get a little bit more shine on herself when she's in the middle of the story. Mr. Rizzo, you are gesticulating wildly in Rizzo's rafters.
If CM Punk was not on screen until he showed up randomly after Drew McIntyre won the title and then beat him up and then he lost his title, do you know how hot that would have been instead of him being this, I'm going to be the commentator. I'm going to do the, who gives a shit? They would have popped this right there if he was just off TV like they do with everybody else. But for him, he had to be relevant. We had to know he was injured. He had to be right there. I'm just saying, I just don't like the precedent. Punk can do something different, but they can't have anyone else injured on screen. That's all I'm saying.
Because they used that to make it work for Damian's cash-in. Like, you're allowed to be... I understand what you're saying. I get it. But you're comparing, you know, Big E had a career ending an injury. As of right now, he's 2 years on. The bone has not grown back. It's fibrous. Right now, it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. But he took the time off because that was a serious borderline paralyzing injury. Rhea Ripley has a shoulder injury and it's going to take time for her to come back. I want Big E back on TV too. I get it.
Big E was still doing, what is it called when you give the pregame speech for Iowa football, but he couldn't be on screen for WWE. That's all I'm saying is they're not invaluable because they can't wrestle. I don't like that.
I don't think they're saying that. I don't think they're saying that they're invaluable. I think Big E specifically, they gave time off. Because he's dealing with a lot of shit, and he did the speech at Iowa, because that was something he wanted to do. I think you're comparing apples to oranges right now, and you're getting into the CM Funk of it all. You're getting a little CM Funky.
Have a Snickers. You're not yourself. You're hungry.
You know what? I said it earlier. I just needed a slice of pizza, some mother's milk, and I'll be good.
Yes, let us sacrifice ourselves to Finn Balor. May he one day reign champion, please.
You know what it is? You know what it is? I haven't been feeling well lately. I even took some COVID tests because my symptoms have just been so all over the place. I just needed to know, and that was negative. So I don't know. I was more upset that I didn't know it was COVID than I still haven't figured out what's wrong with me. I think I know what it is, though, and we're not going to get into it because the next 2 weeks and maybe 3 weeks and probably longer than that, it's going to be all over me and I won't know what to do with it, but that draft is coming and it's going to kill me.
I was thinking of you when I saw the adverts. I was like, oh no, I feel disturbance in the force.
It is going to kill me if they don't do something. So let's just move on.
Pat McAfee's excited for the draft. So, I mean, something's got to happen, right?
If he can just do like one, two things and it's going to make me calm. Okay, they don't have to. They don't have to make it the best thing ever. They just have to try, and I will be okay.
Excuse me.
Sorry, I'm already in it. We gotta go.
Have you watched WWE ever in your life? It's all about being bigger and better than last year. So they're gonna try and outdo last year. I guarantee you.
Well, if that
the biggest draft ever
is not hard, they just have to do a draft and not a cast call. For whatever show people or whatever play guys are on. If they do an actual draft, I'm doing it. Let's move on. Let's move on to the tag teams. I can't handle it.
So what does everybody think about the new World Tag Team Championship belts?
I'm a fan. Like them. Yeah. I like that they implemented the red is still on the belt and it's on the plate instead of the leather itself.
I also like the similar branding that we're seeing.
Seth's belt, you mean?
Yeah, like Rhea's.
And the name change. Yeah, you're right, Mr. Izzo.
Formerly Rhea's belt as well. Rhea's belt also has that kind of style. It's a white belt with a similar sort of black filigree silver.
Yeah.
Mr. Izzo.
There's something weird that they're kind of doing or not doing, and I'm not even sure what the precedent they're saying. There's a few times where they have and not said Universal title with Cody. So yeah. I'm not sure if that's changing or how that's going to look.
It's gone.
They're going to get
check WWE.com. It's totally gone, man. It's not part of it anymore.
It might still say it on the actual belt, which means they might change his belt. But either way, that's the trend, and I understand exactly what you're saying.
Real quick. So... about what's on the belt, right? Like the plate. Is what's on the plate the actual title? Or is is there a separate title from what's listed on the plate?
What if CAT really spelled dog? No, sorry. I'm so messed up. I lost you there. I don't know. You mean like a little version of the belt on the plate?
I just mean one of the belts. I think it's actually the war. Like I think all the belts have Undisputed on the actual plate itself.
Oh,
but for instance, Seth's belt isn't the Undisputed belt; it's the World
Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah. So it's just that, but on the plate, I think it says it has like the title of Undisputed. So is that part of its title?
Hold,
Heavyweight might be thinking their heavyweight might be something they've been getting rid of as well. I don't know. They've been inconsistent.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
They've been trying to put heavyweight on the IC belt because it says it on the plate, but I don't think the title is. I think it's just the IC belt, like the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay. Undisputed. Currently, all the belts except for formerly Rhea's belt are undisputed. There is no dispute as to who those champions are. And it's just, it gets a lot of clout because it's the best thing to come out of Paul Heyman's mouth when he goes, the reigning undisputed.
If it's undisputed, what's all the fighting about?
But here's the thing.
Cody's is the only one that actually has undisputed in its name.
No. That is the universal.
All right. Hold on.
No. That's been removed. Undisputed is still there. It's the WWE Undisputed Heavyweight Championship, Cody
undisputed.
Rhodes.
I don't believe Undisputed is on that belt.
What? No, I'm not saying on the belt. I'm saying the title has Undisputed in it.
It does not.
Cody's belt?
I know.
No way. You're wrong.
As everyone goes to WWE.com to verify...
I just think it's hilarious that we are having this much discussion when we were talking about too many belts, and it was from a different company.
Okay. Specifically. So as of right now, Cody Rhodes has two belts, and because he has two belts, he is undisputed. I see what you're saying.
No way. He only has one belt. He has the undisputed WWE Championship, while Damian Priest holds the World Heavyweight Championship.
But if you click...
No, he cannot have two titles.
No, he got rid of those titles.
If you click the picture, it lists him having two championships.
That's not right.
No, hold on. This is something that WWE is terrible about, but as a New Japan fan, I can give you some insight into this. That is the Undisputed Championship because it is both the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship. All this is to say that Cody wants to bring back the Winged Eagle or the Big Eagle as that belt, and I expect that to happen relatively
soon. This is bullshit.
No, wait. Check this out.
It does say Undisputed Champion on it because that ugly-ass belt was Roman's belt that replaced those two championships when he had to get the stink off of him.
Yep.
Back away.
And wait. So, yeah, on the same page, if you take a look at it, it's the Intercontinental Championship. But on the belt, it says heavyweight. But it doesn't say heavyweight in the title.
How? My brain's breaking. My brain is breaking.
We thought we had problems
with the AEW and the Ring of Honor and the New Japan titles being all in one freaking box and not being able to figure out.
But Cody's got a Triple Crown belt!
Mr. Rizzo.
Oh my God!
That's a fine way to transition. Mr. Rizzo, you were talking in our cold open about how AEW is being a little unreasonable for your liking.
Yeah. Would you not watch this week?
Because of their damn ticket prices. I got the pre-sale code for the buy the tickets for in Buffalo in June 26th. And when I saw that front row is $830, I said... F you, AEW.
Why do you hate AEW?
When I saw the fifth row was $400, I said, fuck you, AEW.
Bro, wow, he hates AEW now. You heard it here first.
We don't care that it's a double show taping for 4 hours. And
that's double the wrestling.
Come after me. But unless that also includes food, fuck you, AEW!
I'm going to try and get there early and put an ice cream sandwich under Mr. Rizzo's seat. And because the next episode will be like, best show ever! There was ice cream sandwiches!
it doesn't take much to to please me. It's really just free food. I'm consistent. But I'm just saying, I wanted to buy tickets. I wanted to buy good seats. I wanted to go. I'm not getting anywhere close to the ring. And I'm like, this isn't a pay-per-view. This is just a regular four-hour taping for some good wrestling. But come on, be somewhat reasonable for the ticket prices, because the same, if you look in like the same time frame for a WWE show, the same seats are like $200 cheaper for WWE than they are for AEW, for a Raw, or for a SmackDown. I'm not talking about the front row.
I am literally looking at next week's Raw, and there are not those very close tickets. I'm looking at Raw in Columbus, which is not a go-home.
Don't look this close. Look for 2 months ago on either shows. Look for 2 dates that are close in June or 2 dates that are close in May. I just tried to compare something similar. Now, you threw out that it was a go-home show before a pay-per-view. I just don't think $800 for front row, like $500 for like the wrestling experience I think that you get from WWE is expensive that I can't spend, but I think it's somewhat reasonable for the package that you get. Double that for an extra hour doesn't seem like it's worth it. That's all I'm saying. Sorry, I went a little hot there, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at, in June, Monday Night Raw from the Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Okay. There aren't a ton of tickets, but I'm looking at a second row, not hard cam side, in the backwash from the, in the shadow of the...
Yeah.
That's $305. Also, I will say, this is Ticketmaster, and Ticketmaster can suck a bag of dicks. Because Ticketmaster does do instant dynamic pricing.
Yeah, scalping.
it's not even that.
You know what? I can take a little step back from AEW and agree with what TBZ had said before with the Ticketmaster and what you're bringing up there now. Not only did the ticket prices seem ridiculous, but the lack of tickets that they did have available for what you guys were talking about might have increased or might have contributed to that dynamic pricing. Like, hey, guys, we're only letting you see this many anyway. $800. Like, take it or leave.
You saw it. Demand's high.
So I was looking at those tickets after last night's Dynamite show, which was also a go-home show. That arena in Indianapolis has only fit 6,500 people for a hockey game. Like, that is not a big arena. So I think people who are harshing on Tony Khan for booking two big arenas need to chill. I think what I'll say is this. I think that we're going to see lower prices closer to the show itself, and that you're going to see more tickets opened up because Buffalo is a great wrestling city. And I think AEW will do really well.
Hey. It's just the first time that I didn't buy something in advance and be like, cool, I got my tickets. I know where I'm sitting. I'm going to be there. And I'm gonna like, I'm just going to keep waiting. Yeah. I'm going to play like, is it double Dutch or am I going to play like my DraftKings where I'm betting my over under and know when to get in and out of my bet? Like, just keep waiting. Ooh, I can get my $45 tickets.
Speaking only for myself, I am one who some would say has a very thick ass. So I am probably going to keep an eye out. A floor seat might be nice. I really want a 200 level seat at the KeyBank Center for me personally.
But I couldn't afford the floor, man. It stinks.
I mean, there were floor seats for $89, five rows back on the behind the announcers. That's what I was looking at because a friend of mine is supposed to be in town that I was going to, treat them to that particular bit of the show.
Too bad.
That's not too bad.
I'd like to be a little closer, but I can understand that one. Okay, that might be reasonable.
$890 for the front row doesn't... It's ludicrous.
That's a bit much.
It's a bit much, but it's not...
2 miles an hour so everybody sees you. 2 miles. Sorry, ludicrous.
For a match where we might get to see CMLL stars, Stardom stars, my dog barking very loudly.
Man, I'd pay $800 for Omega there?
Kenny Omega there?
No.
Who knows? Maybe.
No.
Who knows?
I just meant because of the dog. Sorry.
Oh, well. Speaking of,
I heard a great stat today. I heard a great stat today. Currently, with Jon Moxley as the New Japan World Heavyweight, as the New Japan Heavyweight Champion,
yeah.
AEW has more people under contract who have held that belt than New Japan does.
Yeah. It's basically New Japan now. American Pride. Well,
so that specific belt, because it changed right around the pandemic when they merged their Intercontinental belt. That specific belt has been held by Kazuchika Okada, has been held by Will Ospreay, has been held by Jay White, has been held by, oh yeah, Kota Ibushi is signed by AEW, and is now held by Jon Moxley.
What about Kenny Omega?
Kenny Omega has not held that specific belt.
Maybe he's coming back now.
Whereas in New Japan, it has been held by Sanada, Naito, and Shingo Takagi. TBZ.
I like how when they were introducing Moxley and talking about the belt, they were all like, oh, that's the biggest belt in all of wrestling in New Japan. I was like, oh, way to save yourself there, because I was like,
what? That almost got me upset the way they were like putting over their title more than AEW to start the damn show. But I think I heard this somewhere. I can't remember. I believe Nakamura won that title at 23.
Wow.
I think Nakamura won that title a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. That is a new title as of the pandemic.
If you want to go with the lineage, that's all I was just saying.
If the WWE Undisputed Championship can be three different belts, then I'm with Mr. Rizzo on this one.
I swear to God.
If you expand that, Kenny Omega has also held that belt. Shinsuke Nakamura has also held that belt.
Oh, see, Kenny Omega.
Yeah, well, what RB was specifically saying is, it was like one title for so long, and then they combined it with the IC title and made it a new one. So he's just talking about, like, since they did that, Kenny hasn't got it, which is, correct. That's all. Yeah. Anyway, where are we at? That was a lot of belt talk. A lot of stuff.
I'll say this. I thought Moxley's promo fucking slapped. I think we've already talked about how much we hate CM Punk. I think in comparison to Copeland's rah-rah promo about why AEW is awesome, Mox is the guy to give that promo, because Mox really is the face of AEW. And I thought that promo slapped. And I can't wait for him versus Powerhouse Hobbs after the pay-per-view at the next Dynamite. That's going to honk.
You reminded me, you said Adam Copeland, and watching him on AEW this week, I just thought to him, like, in a WWE crowd, like, you know, he runs around a lot and stuff. Like, in this one, he didn't have to run that far. It almost looked like he was like, I'm already there. Okay, cool. This is a really small stage. I'm like, yeah, he's more used to the bigger WWE. You got to run a mile each way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that was one of the big matches tonight. I think we'll get... Listen. Claudio versus Will Ospreay.
I mean, what did you expect, really? Like, are we surprised?
Here, you know what I want to put over?
This would be a dream match.
Yeah... I want to put over Don Callis on commentary.
Oh, yeah.
I just realized I need some help with this.
There, what?
My dumbass may have passed out through the end of this and just realized that I didn't see exactly how it ended.
Wow.
Ben
was like, Ben was, I know, wow, that there was
this. He hates wrestling, everybody. You heard it. He's just like, fuck you.
I had too much to drink. And what I realized
a snoozer.
That I got all the way until... He countered the swing.
What do they got to do to get you to watch wrestling, Mr. Rizzo?
That was basic. Like, you had 30 seconds more.
So I did see the finish, and I'm just going blank on it.
Yes.
Is that what happened? Okay. I'm spacing out here. That's why I asked for help.
So the finish of the match was a big swing, because it's not the Cesaro swing anymore. He did a crunch up out of the swing, hit him with, I think it was a spinning DDT.
Oh, okay. I remember finished.
Top rope, hit a Falcon Arrow, two count, immediately and then the got blade. Up and hit the hidden blade because his elbow was already.
Did he hit the hidden blade? I thought he didn't.
Marijuana affects the memory.
He failed that. He already had his elbow off because he missed the first hidden blade.
Right. I thought, like, that's what I was getting at. Is that's why I was so memorable. I was like, oh, that was cool. Like, he wanted to hit his finisher and missed, so he hit him with a different move for the finish, I thought. Kind of like, I thought they were, like, teasing, like, being all like, he didn't need it this time, but maybe next time or something.
He almost didn't. I think you're saying he almost didn't need it with the Falcon Arrow. And then he needed it. And then when he did it, I was like, that's the end. And he
could have. I missed that last part where he did the hidden blade.
I apologize. Did I say Falcon Arrow? I meant Phoenix Splash. He did a top rope. He was an aerial assassin. He attempted to assassinate him from the air. That failed, so he assassinated him from a hidden blade.
So he did hidden blade, and I was thinking, oh, he didn't do Stormbreaker, he didn't do Tire Driver 91, 92, 93, whatever, and he can still take him out. I love he's got all these moves. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really like it.
This match reminded me that this man just... There's nothing this man can't get out of.
Yeah, he's really good on the video game. We got to get Will Ospreay because of all the different finishes he can have by just having the guy in a different position in the ring. He's got more than anybody. That's just how it works.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to talk a second about Don Callis, because Don Callis is a heat magnet as a guy on a mic talking to a crowd.
Walking human excrement.
Everyone hates Don Callis.
Oh yeah, it's so great.
Like, even more than people hate Dominic Mysterio.
That's a bold claim.
I believe that Don Callis is more of a heat magnet.
You know what? I'm going to agree, because at a certain point, you may eventually get a little respect for Dominic just for being with mommy. And you don't have any respect for Don Callis.
Nobody has respect for Don. The man doesn't even need to talk. The minute he appears, people just instantly
move. Just told you the very little respect that I gave Dom for being with mommy.
Boo! He said Dom! Boo!
I'll never give Don Callis any respect. Especially what he did to Kenny Omega and how he destroyed the painting.
It's worth noting, there was a very funny exchange on commentary where Taz was talking about Don Callis' history with John Moxley, because Moxley had called out the entire Callis family in his promo. And he's like, yeah, he cut me wide open. And Tony Schiavone was like, yeah, you see that big cut on his head? He's like, oh, thanks, Tony. And just like, you can just hear Excalibur just like trying not to laugh. He's like, I have to call this match.
You're just reminding me of that stupid big ass scar on my head. Thanks a lot.
It's like such a good dynamic, because it's like Taz is like, I'm going to allude to the thing. Tony's like, yeah, this thing. And Taz is like, yeah, that's the joke.
Right in the yam bags.
But I digress.
You can definitely know.
Digress Jones, as Taz would say.
You definitely know that Tony just tells so many dad jokes around the house, right? There's no way he doesn't, the way his humor is. He just got tell just ton of dad jokes.
I got to tell 100%, you, 100%. I watched this show with some friends via Triller. So I actually get like the no commercials feed.
Triller?
No, I'm just so upset that you get to watch the feed without the commercials. You actually get to watch the whole show.
NordVPN, hit me up. We would love to talk about NordVPN getting you to watch a better product, because it's very funny.
It's just, you're watching the pay-per-view. You get to watch every single, you don't miss anything.
NordVPN.
Oh, man.
I mean, and to be fair, this was a great match. The six-man tag with Buffalo's own Daniel Garcia.
Oh, I love his new entrance. He's got himself dancing on it.
Along with Pac and Penta versus...
I'm glad you wrote that up.
The Elite.
I got to say something about the Garcia thing, because I'm just so happy that he's just getting the run. He's with the guys. He's with all the big players. The fact that Okada did that to him made me think, oh, well, he's going to get to eventually have a match with Okada sometime down the road.
That's
cool, right?
Yup.
That was just, my boy!
I also
Air think five.
That, Listen, just for a moment to venture into the nation of speculation. I think that coming out of Dynasty, Jack Perry is going to join the Elite, and we're going to get Daniel Garcia versus Jack Perry, and I think that's going to be fucking awesome.
I'm cool with all that. I don't care if we don't get it for like 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year from now, or at Forbidden Door. The fact that they did so much crap to Okada, specifically did that to Garcia, I think they'll give him at least the match payback, not the win, but they'll give him the match payback down the road.
For those of you who haven't seen it, the finish of the six-man tag was a super kick party to Garcia, who was being held up in the ripcord position by Okada. So he gets the two super kicks. Okada ripcords him out and hits him with a honker of a Rainmaker.
Rainmaker!
But how we started this conversation, what you may not have seen, because I don't know what was and wasn't in the commercial. So in the middle of one of the commercials, Matt Jackson gets on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And he's talking shit to Daniel Garcia on the mic.
Mid-match, too.
Mid-match. Why don't you show me why we hired you so long ago? And then Danny got him up. He's like, no, 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 put me down.
No, wait, we're cool. We're cool.
Honker of a moment.
Yeah, no, they're you love to hate them, you know?
I love everything the Bucks are doing. It's great.
Listen. We all have our opinions that we discussed at length last week about showing the videotape. But the best part of that entire episode was the Bucks talking about, you know, we were very busy. We didn't get to pray. We didn't get to do our stretching in. We had to be EVPs. We had to wear the other hats.
Such great heel work. It was so good.
I love how they just bumped FTR's promo spot. They're like, we got too much on the show. We'll put it on the social. We can do that, right? Yeah, yeah, whatever. We got a match. Hey, check us out.
This isn't a good promo. I don't like it. Just Tony, play our music.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love the angle. I love everything they're doing. They really haven't been doing anything that I hasn't liked. Like, it's just worked for me pretty much everything they've been doing.
So the Bucks are going to win the titles, right?
That's absolutely.
Yeah, I think that what we're leading to is we're expecting Jack Perry to come in and mess up FTR so they can't win.
Absolutely.
And then join the Elite, right? That's kind of the thing.
I was going to say, why would he backstab FTR? I thought he actually, like, teamed with him once on Collision.
Well, come on. It's easy to follow with the video. Anything that FTR's friend did caused him to lose his job at AEW and have to go work in Japan.
That's true. That's, and he did wear that shirt. So, yeah, he's
the scapegoat
opportunity.
And here's the and this is the thing I said when they announced that they were going to show the video. I'm like, this is a bad idea unless they use it to build Jack Perry, and fuck is Jack Perry hot. If you go back and watch Wendy's, like, in Chicago, he had that crowd wrapped around his fingers. They were cheering him at the end of that match. I love it. He has so much heat. He sold on pro wrestling tees. I'm very excited about that. But first, before we get, I'm getting a little,
calm down.
TBZ.
Yeah.
Tell me about you were mentioning in our chat before we got on board here. We're talking about a little bit of trouble you had with the aforementioned Adam Copeland.
Oh, yes.
And the mixed tag match that was supposed to feature but did feature, but maybe it didn't. Adam Copeland and my favorite wrestler Willow Nightingale against the House of Black.
Yes. Yes, my beef with it is it kind of just seemed to turn into a 1v1 match between Copeland and Brody, while Julia Hart just kind of awkwardly sits there waiting to be tagged in. And it made me think, too, if it's a handicap match, because that's what they were implying when showing Willow was injured and couldn't come out to her music, which I was a little sad for, because I was getting ready with the claps, you know? I was sitting at home at my desk being like, yeah, you know, I was like, let's go. And I was like, I'm clapping for her being injured. Why am I doing this right now? I feel bad. But it made me think, you know, it reminded me of the problem I had with the tag match at WrestleMania, where it was like, what's going to happen if Julia Hart tags in? Is Adam going to have to choke a bitch? Like, what is the rule there? Like, I thought the rule is, oh, you got to tag in your partner who's not there. So
I heard someone else say that it was kind of like, and this is before your time, TBZ, like the original NXT before, when it was like a in Raw.
Like a reality show. TV show.
Well, not even that. It was on Raw as a thing. And it was like the two wrestlers who were rookies with their coaches who were active wrestlers. And then it was like Julia Hart coaching Brody and then getting in cheap shots like she was cheating in a tag match. I'm listening. I get what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I wanted to see a lot more of my favorite wrestler, Willow Nightingale. Rumor has it that Julia Hart is still banged up. Maybe not 100% clear to wrestle, so she didn't really do any real moves.
Then don't book this match. Why are you booking this match if that's the case?
I think so. To be fair, I thought the first time I heard about a friend of mine posted in a wrestling group that another person's girlfriend had been injured, and I thought they were talking about Julia Hart because I heard that she had been injured on Collision. And they were talking about Rhea. So I don't think she was that. I don't think she was already injured. Like, this isn't a Mercedes Moné situation where she's not wrestling
Got involved in this match at the end there.
I understand the booking. They're booking the who's attacking in the dark. It's Chris Statlander. I think. Mr. Rizzo, what do you have to say about this conflagration in the corner?
I just think you guys care too much. It was a setup match that there were going to get payoffs for the pay-per-view.
That's fair.
Like, it's like it was a tease that you're not really going to get Willow and them because they're going to wrestle on Sunday. And Brody King's not going to be able to get beaten unless the other guys show up. But it's a one-on-one with Edge right now, and he doesn't have any help. It was just kind of like, this is a teaser where you're going to get a lot more of on Sunday. That's kind of how I've looked at it.
I'll tell you this. I really enjoyed Brody and Copeland together. I really enjoyed when Willow made the save and she came in and she crossbodied Brody.
Yeah. We were all there for Willow to bark at us.
She got Brody's. Yeah, she got Brody's chant going.
Yeah, she stole.
She's been doing that for a while.
No, I know. It's just like,
so it worked, and it was just a little pop, so she can do a move or two with the gentleman. But hey, we're gonna get the good stuff on Sunday. That's how I looked at it.
I think so too, and this gives me an opportunity to talk about another dude getting run over by a woman briefly, because the Mariah May versus Deonna Purrazzo match wasn't super great, but we did get to see Thunder Rosa fucking light up Luther.
Yes.
Take that, Luther.
her moves looked really stiff. They looked nasty in the ring. Thunder Rosa looked like she was hurting people. It was cool.
Yeah, which,
it was good spots.
Which is why some people don't like her. But
I wasn't saying it as a criticism. I was like,
I know.
Nasty and awesome. That just cool.
You're not meant to injure people here. Come on.
Absolutely not.
Well, I hope that's not the case either. They looked good.
But finally,
and good aren't. Okay.
Well, that's sort of the thing. Like, people talk about Minoru Suzuki. People talk about dick joke. People talk about Minoru Suzuki hurting people, which is just like, it's notorious because Minoru Suzuki is a genuine MMA guy, and you know, his gimmick is he beats up the young boys at ringside. But also, everyone who's had a match with Minoru Suzuki is like, yeah, he's the easiest guy to wrestle. Everything looks great. Everything looks hard. He absolutely protects you.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway,
he also just takes you to the chop house.
He does take you to the chop house. Anyway, this was the go-home show for Dynasty.
It certainly was.
So one last thing we must talk about is the ending angle. Swerve Strickland calling out the champ.
In the sky, Is that a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Swerve Strickland, dummy.
AEWshop.com to get your Prince Nana, Dancing Nana button-down shirts. The yellow ones are a special edition. Only 50 will be sold, what? Allegedly.
What?
Pause the show.
I think
that would come at the price of I don't know, say first row at AEW.
Yeah, so there's a black and gray one, and then there's a yellow one, and Nana is dancing on the front of the shirts. It's very good. They're
Mr.
very
Rizzo
good.
Rizzo needs this shirt.
So what do I do, guys? Do I buy a shirt or do I go to the show? Do I buy a shirt?
Yes.
Go to the show.
I think you buy a shirt and then you buy tickets to the show the day of for super cheap, because that's what happens in pro wrestling. But
yes.
Swerve Strickland, I gotta tell you. So Swerve calls out Joe. Swerve does the most nonsensical thing I have ever seen, which is he goes to the top. So Joe comes out along with 80 security guards.
Yeah.
And he somehow he does the Swerve stomp onto 80 security guards.
Yeah. It's what I was getting at earlier about him being an airplane.
It was so dumb and so cool. Like, he did the Superman land. Like, he did the superhero pose.
Yep.
Like, he hits two people with kicks. Everyone goes flying like he's Superman or Deadpool or Goku. It was amazing.
Or invincible. I don't know.
This match, I think there's been a lot of other stuff that's taken a lot of attention away from it.
No, the yellow one sold out.
Too late.
There were only 50, my dude.
What was the the price?
It was $50.
50?
Yeah, not too bad.
Wow, but for limited edition, man.
That's what I normally buy for a button-down shirt. I mean, I think I spent more than that on my Bluey outfit.
No, I would have bought 5.
I'm sorry, did you say I had a Bluey shirt?
Yeah, I have a Bluey matching shirt and pants that it's the closest thing I can look like with the jumper that the Young Bucks wear. I'm trying to find more outfits like that.
So you're doing an EVP of Bandit?
Yes, that's what it is. It's Bluey, it's got Bingo and Bandit on it. Yeah, I wore it to the Fish concerts last year, so I need some more stuff to wear out to Goose and Fish. Definitely Bluey is on the list, but if I can find anything crazy, you know, like a whole Funyuns outfit, I don't know. I'm looking for some
ramen
good stuff
outfit.
Ramen's good. A whole pizza outfit is really what you want, but I can't find a goose. It should work for this podcast. I cannot find a button-down shirt with a – I can find ducks, but I can't find goose. That's where I've been looking.
So, guys, it's fair to say there's been a lot of other things that have taken a lot of attention.
Yes.
But Swerve and Joe, I'm so excited for them. Boys, Dynasty is this weekend. Who do you have coming out of Dynasty as your AEW World Champion, Mr. Rizzo?
Well, I think Swerve is just so hot right now. Just like doing the Hansel meme. Anyway, I just don't know if I'm going to get paid off on what I've been saying forever, that the only way that Samoa Joe loses his title is going to be some interference with something to do with MJF. So that can still happen, and Swerve can still get the title. But I don't know. I just don't think that – I don't think Swerve can not win this title. So I'm going to pick Swerve with my prediction of MJF still causing some shenanigans.
I don't know if MJF's going to be coming back.
Yeah, I might be wrong. I'm going out there. I'm swinging. I'm swinging big.
Swinging for the fences. I love it.
I can see that. TBZ, what say you?
What matchup is this in their series? Is this their first?
This is their first singles. They previously were in the triple threat with Hanger.
Right. I could, like, you got to get Swerve this belt this year at some point, you know?
It'll give some pop to AEW.
It would. And I mean, they keep talking about how, you know, he'd be the first African-American AEW champ, I believe. And
world champ. Sure. Scorpio Sky was the TNT champ, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, that's an accolade, you know, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. You don't want to let Swerve Mania fizzle out before you get him the belt, you know. So all I'm trying to say is, like, I don't think that time is now. Like, if Swerve doesn't win here, he could come back with a lot of momentum. You know, like, he is so hot sure. that he doesn't need help. He almost doesn't need the belt right now. That's how hot he is. You know, we can have him, you know, oh, Joe was right. You're a fuck up. You fucked up again in the, you know, when it matters. So now we get to see this road to redemption, I guess, because I feel like that's what we were trying to do after Hangman. But I don't feel Swerve has had enough time yet to make amends for the bad shit that he's done. So I'm going with Joe.
Sidebar, do you think that he needs to make more amends? And do you think he should beat Hangman before he gets the championship?
Needs to? No. But I mean, the story
would
that...
Would you like it?
The story, would you like it? The story that I was implying with what I was saying, yes. Yes. And I didn't even think of that point, which actually is that is... You could use that to kind of prolong this story is, yes, have him try and beat Hangman in some clean. Kind of pay-per-view. Yeah, clean.
Because to be fair, he has beat the fuck out of Hangman Page at every opportunity.
But yeah,
but him overcoming him as a face when he's doing like the good guy stuff for the most part,
right?
Because Swerve is still Swerve. That's an that's an interesting angle.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with Joe on this one.
I think is going to happen. I think Swerve is going to win at Dynasty. I think that is probably the best decision because I don't, unless the plan is, and this is a lot of Nation of Speculation stuff, unless you're going to go Ospreay beats Danielson, which I think is definitely going to happen, and then kind of the BCC and Callis family are going to fight a bit, but Ospreay's going to do his own thing. Unless Ospreay is going to be the next champion, which I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago. I was like, Ospreay is the hottest thing. He is super fucking over. Unless Ospreay is going to be the champ.
Which honestly, I don't even know if he needs to be right now. You've got this continental belt he could win off of Okada.
I don't want him anywhere near Okada. I think that's a story for down the road because I think you need everyone to buy Okada more in AEW before you're like, so Okada 10 years ago was Ospreay's mentor. Like, that's a story that you can tell.
But dream match.
In my heart, what I think they're going to do is I think Swerve is going to win. In my head, I don't know what the next spot is otherwise, unless Swerve wins.
I think you got with Ospreay. I think you have Don Callis and the Empire with that whole family and the Elite kind of big picture stuff before we get to like teasing Wembley. The one-on-one with, like you said, Okada and Ospreay. I think they'll keep that away from each other and they'll tease the big factions kind of slowly getting involved because we'll want to get to that, but they need to build it up. Like you said, we need to know the Okada stuff. We're all here for Ospreay, but not everyone knows much about Okada.
I think in my head, I think that at Wembley, your main event is Ospreay versus Swerve for the title. I don't know who the champion is yet going into that match.
Is that a plan? Because you can't expect Kenny to be there.
And I think at full gear, your championship match is Swerve versus Hangman. A face Swerve versus Hangman Page. I think that
I think that they've built enough into their story that that's a big deal. Yeah. I don't know how we get there, which is great. I like that I don't know how we get there.
But we can.
I do feel like that is the other reason that I might be slightly down in AEW, not so much with the stories that we are getting or what they are putting on TV or it not being, quote, as hot as what the other company is doing. But a lot of the big guys and girls that are on the other side are just not on TV, and I'm expecting them to wow me too with MJF, Kenny Omega, Britt Baker, I mean, Jamie Hayter. I can keep going on both sides, and it's just we're missing a lot of cool players. So we'll see if who will or won't be on the chessboard in Wembley.
Which theoretically is supposed to be one of the selling points of AEW is that, hey, people can take time off and that's good for them as people.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come back, they'll be better, which is why I hope that Hook kills Chris Jericho and he goes away for 6 months. But I digress. I am picking Swerve Strickland because I think that makes the most sense.
RB, now. It's time to shut your hole. Because it's time for the Topates! Our Topates Suicida Moment of the Week.
We look ahead to something in the wrestling world that you should go check out.
Whew.
What say you, gentlemen?
I'm going to start off here. It's something that I've personally put off for a while. I think many people may have seen it already. But it does go into what we're going to be doing next week. Where, of course, we're going to talk about Dynasty. But we are also going to talk about the Bray Wyatt documentary. And that is, if you want to prep yourself, watch that. We'll talk about it. I'm going to be an emotional wreck. If you don't want to wreck yourself, find Windy City Riot and watch the Naito and John Moxley match. TBZ, what are you looking forward to?
Well, as you said, Dynasty's this weekend, so that's kind of on my list. Out of that pay-per-view, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of excited to watch Hook beat the shit out of Jericho. So
that's, I hope so. That a segment we really didn't talk about, but woof, Chris Jericho, Taz took a bump.
Yeah, I think he's okay. I think they're playing it up for kayfabe purposes.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Also, thank you, because I wanted to bring this up, and I think this is the right part right now. Was Hook eating out of a duct-taped bag of chips?
Yes. So,
product placement, they couldn't have it, so they, like, just cut it off or correct. Something?
Yeah, in the film industry, they call that greeking a product so that you can't see what it is. You know the phrase, it's all Greek to me? It's so that you don't see what it is so that no one is pissed off or no one has paid you money for it. Mr. Rizzo, what is your tope?
Wrestling this weekend. Crap, I did have an actual wrestling thing to... Oh, yeah, yes. Sorry, guys. It's coming, and I know it's going to sound weird because I complained about it, but I'm going to complain about it after it doesn't happen. And that's going to be... the draft. Next week's the draft. Next week, when we record, it will be draft season. First round of the draft will have not started yet, but when our episode comes out, it'll have already happened. And I may have already had a heart attack and just went over the deep end. So just pray for me for not going too crazy. But if I am going to put something else over this weekend, and starting tonight, Fish at the Sphere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on social media. We are at Wrestling Honks on X, formerly known as Twitter, and also on Blue Sky. TBZ, where can people reach us by the electronic mail?
Send us an email to honkifyoulovewrestling@gmail.com. If you want to talk about wrestling with us, you have a topic you want us to cover, let us know in that email. If you even want to get on the show, we'll gladly have you come on as a special guest and we could talk about whatever it is. Just send us that email and let us know.
And if you're enjoying the way that we talk about that subject of Art of Pro Wrestling, please find us on Spotify, follow us, like the show. That is great for us. Mr. Rizzo will have the final word.
Before we say goodbye, I want to promote myself being on the Not a Real Court podcast next week, Tuesday. If you can check that out live or listen to the podcast afterwards, 9:30 on Tuesday, the 22nd, or is that the 23rd? 23rd, I believe. And we are having topics 23rd. Of what would you rather do of always speaking your mind or never being able to speak again? And we're having a draft of movie items that you would like in real life. And I have a good list already. I've been doing some homework. I got some good stuff. It's going to be a fun episode. So
look forward to that.
Brian, RB, you wanted to name something. What's your number one thing that you want to bring from the movies? You had something in your head, I can tell.
The number one thing I want from a movie.
There's a number one answer, and if you don't pick it, you're just not even doing the game right. So
when you said it, it's not my answer. But the first thing that came into my head was the pick of Destiny from Tenacious D and the pick of Destiny. Yeah, I don't think that's the right answer. No, I don't think that's the right answer. It's just the only thing that popped into my head.
It's a good answer. It's top. I'll give it a top five, but it can't be number one.
If we're honestly, no, that's not a thing that I would actually want. Personally, I want the actual prop that was the McLovin fake ID. That's what I actually want, but that's not an item from a movie. Okay. There are much better items from a movie.
Mr. Rizzo, what do you got for us?
I'm gonna have the time traveling DeLorean.
That's fair. Like, that's
if
a
you
really
don't pick the item that can make you go back in time, and it's also a car. I don't think you really get to play the game anymore.
It is an unreliable time machine.
It is pretty unreliable. It does keep breaking down.
I gotta pick the right version that works on garbage, or I'm screwed.
Yeah, the Back to the Future 3 one.
Yeah. Ooh,
we'll coach you up.
Making sure I get the specific DeLorean.
What was it, Mr. Fusion? I think he had installed on the engine.
But that movie alone,
it was Mr. Fusion, correct?
That movie alone has some really good topics. So yeah. Really good.
Hoverboard. I mean, come on.
There you know, there's another one. You're taking some good items. So
but until next time, why don't you all have a good
honking it.
Honking like it's hot. Honking like it's hot.
Honk, 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 honk.